floor is yours.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today I'm going to take a look at a topic that looks at validation and how does one go about validating ecological models, and in particular, I'm going to take a look at validating of spatial models. All right. Many people, when they model, have different ways. You go and you generate a hypothesis, you take a look at developing a sample design, you collect your data, you develop the spatial model, and at this point, at the point before when you develop the spatial model, you actually have the choice of, am I going to proceed without validation? So in my collected data, am I going to split that into a calibration and validation set? Or am I merely going to proceed and develop my spatial model with the entire data set? And when I do that, I then get to the stage where I evaluate my hypothesis. And I cannot evaluate my hypothesis with any form of error metric. I can essentially just say, this looks theoretically sensible, and perhaps we need to go on and further evaluate this at a later point. And that is one of the limitations if we decide to do modeling without validation. Now, in the ecological field, many people have this dilemma of collecting samples is expensive, and you want to try and limit the number of samples you collect, but still, can you generate a decent spatial model, and what can you do with that? Can you actually validate it? So there's this catch-22 situation of, can I afford to collect some more samples so I can split it or not? And if I do develop and decide that I'm going to split my data into a calibration and validation set, what then happens? So if I've split my data, I have my calibration set, my validation set is withheld and not used in the model, I develop my spatial model, I can then predict at validation locations, I can then validate my model and evaluate this hypothesis. Now, the strength of including this validation is it allows you to now compare against perhaps different models you develop, so you can actually start comparing models, which you're not able to do if you don't do your validation. Now, in standard literature, many people do this calibration and validation, and they kind of just say, I'm going to split my data on a 70-30 split. And what I've taken a look at is I'm wanting to take a look at what is the effect on this validation? How does this actually play a role, and what role does it have in my final validation and essentially in evaluating my hypothesis? And what I've looked at is different components. So, as I mentioned, many ecological studies look at different sample sizes and different splits. Sample sizes where people split 70-30, 75-25, or split similar to that. And then a second component that I take a look at is what is the effect of looking at my validation. So I've decided to split my data into a calibration and validation set. Great. How do I go about splitting that data? Do I do it randomly? Do I actually think about that validation and say, okay, I'm going to check what is the distribution of my original data set, and can I make my calibration and my validation set to resemble that distribution? And in the terms of spatial modeling, are my validation points evenly spread throughout the area, or are they clumped in specific regions? So in this particular study, we've taken a look at the sample size to see, can we optimize the sample size? So if you're going out, do you need to do a 70-30 split, or would you be okay doing a 95-5% split and maybe use as much data as you can for calibrating your model? I've did this particular study on two separate samples, on two separate studies. One was on solar radiation data, and a second was on a data set that we've gathered from Florida, a soil organic carbon data set. We're very fortunate in this data set that it is a large data set. So we have 1,014 samples, which is, of course, in terms of ecological studies, a very decent size of data. This is the original data in soil organic carbon in percentage. However, I've looked at log transforming this data to make it near normal in order to perform spatial modeling. Now, firstly, to explain my data split. I have taken 708 samples I have used for the rest of the study as my calibration. And 304 samples have been used as my validation set. I have taken a look at, as I said, feature space is what I'm talking about when I'm looking at the distribution of the data. So how does it fit over the sample distribution? Here I show my full data set, how I've selected the calibration data set, and the validation set. So what I've done is I've tried to maximize the data set to do this entire spread. And I've tested that using a Kolmogorov-Smirnov test to test for distribution similarity. And the next component that I've done is trying to take a look at splitting the data spatially. So is it distributed? Ideally, you would want it distributed on a regular grid across the entire area in order to make sure you've achieved the entire spatial distribution. I must first highlight, in our study, we did not cover the southern area of Florida. So you see this gap with no points here. That is an area that hasn't been sampled and isn't included in this particular study. And the areas, the lakes, were also not studied. The points that I'm showing here are the validation sample and how that is spread across Florida. As you see, I've tried to maximize the spatial distribution. I'll go on now to explain how I look at spatial distribution and describe the spatial distribution. All right. What I've mentioned is that if you're going to try and split your validation to be evenly spread across the area, you would ideally want it on something like this regular grid. We know that when we actually go out sampling, we generally don't do this, and that we're doing simple random sampling. And so the idea would then be taking a look at your samples and how are they actually clustered. And that is the way that when I look at assessing the spatial distribution, I take a look at my sample points and see, do I have a particular pixel which has more than one sample within a pixel? And this pixel is then considered as a clump. And I take a look at how many clumps, or what is the area across, in my case, Florida, that does not have an even distribution or a single sample in each one of these points here. So over here, this is just a, what do you call it? A simulated data set, of essentially 123 grid points. And these points here, this is also 123 points to actually show you that type of spatial distribution. So how it would be regular or how it would be using clumping. What are the error metrics that I consider? As I said, the feature metrics, so taking a look at the distribution, I look at Kolmogorov-Smirnov distribution comparison. And in this particular study, although I have analyzed for a number of different spatial metrics, I'm going to be presenting the area. So how many of these pixels here are clumped into into a multiple pixels or multiple samples in a particular pixel. So that is, and then I add up the area, which is relative, of course, to the size grid cell or pixel size that I have. All right. So that is what I've been doing, but in future, well, there have been other spatial metrics which have been developed and assessed. So now, what is the effect, and what is it that I've done? Firstly, with the 708 samples from my original data, I developed a geostatistical model. All right? This is from my calibrated data set. 708 samples developed an exponential model with a pretty decent variogram. And from this, I used a 1 kilometer grid across all of Florida to predict soil organic carbon. You will see in these areas here, this is my prediction and my variance map. You'll see down in the southern area where there's not much sampling, of course, I have very high variance. Okay, and for the remainder of the study, what I now take a look at is those 304 samples that were withheld for the validation. And I use those 304 samples and I subset it. So I have initially a calibration of 70 and a validation of 30. And what I do is from these 304 samples, I essentially do multiple iterations. So I run it through 100 iterations and I calculate these metrics. So what is the effect of the distribution, or what is the effect of both the feature distribution and the spatial distribution? And I take a look at how do these distributions affect my model performance. And by model performance, what I'm taking a look at is if a particular value from my validated sample, if it falls within the predicted and plus and minus variance range that you saw on the original, on this calibrated thing. So I have, let's say, a point over here, and how does that actually fall, or does it fall within that predicted value plus and minus the variance of the original calibration data set? And that is how I assess my models. Okay, and as I mentioned, I take my validation set and I do different size splits. So I'm exploring what is the effect on validation sample size. Can I have a 75-25, an 80-20, 85-15, 90-10, or a 95-5 split? And those, so this 5% would be 100 subset iteration samples taken from those 304 points. Okay, what do I find? Firstly, taking a look at feature distribution. Now, I think to me one of the most striking things is that every single one of these points is one of the 100 points from each iteration. So for each year, I have 100 points. And you can see this huge range that you get in your validation outcomes. So we know that when we read articles, everybody does a 70-30 split, 75-25 split, but they produce a single value. But what you're seeing here is that you actually might be getting, perhaps in your particular one, a very good validation outcome, or you might be getting a very poor outcome. So what you see is that you might have this huge variation, and perhaps the means or the way that we're going about validation is somewhat incorrect because we're not actually considering this variation in the validation sample set. Now, I have taken a look at the feature distribution. Is the distribution similar? If the value was higher than 0.9, that would mean that our distribution of the validation together with the calibration set were statistically similar. And what I find is that that doesn't really play a role. The mean value here were not found to be statistically different. So the feature distribution, irrespective of my sample size, was not really influenced by whether my distributions were the same. But I have effects of course, this variance, of how much variance do I get with my validation sample. Right, now if I take a look at it spatially, so we've discovered feature distribution isn't such an issue. What is the effect on patch area? For each patch area, I have a range of samples, different areas affected by the size of my grid. And what I find is a very similar result to the feature distribution. It doesn't matter what my spatial distribution is, my mean is going to be the same. However, if I just do a single validation, I might be getting a value up here rather than on the mean or below. So a single validation point is not producing perhaps a realistic view of what your model can actually do. If I look at the effect of validation sample size, okay, again, my means are the same, irrespective. However, my variances are different across. They're highly variable. So, quickly and in conclusion, we clearly see validation is highly variable. The smaller the validation sample set, the greater the variability in your validation outcomes. And multiple validation iterations seems to stabilize your validation outcomes. So, in terms of future policy and how should one go about validating, it seems that the idea is not so much to worry about, is my validation resembling the feature space or is it spread evenly across space, but it would be better to go about and do multiple iterations of your validation to really gain a good idea on how well does your model actually perform. Thank you.